With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pond Hunter broadcast from the Under the Sea Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. The Pond Hunter, in the pursuit of all things aquatic. Take a look into the world of koi ponds, water gardens, and the lifestyles of the aquatically obsessed. Meet the pros, hobbyists, and cover some no-nonsense pond advice straight from the field. The Pond Hunter, in the pursuit of all things aquatic. Here's your host, koi pond and water garden expert, Mike Gannon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Pond Hunter Radio Broadcast, episode 45. I'm your host, Mike Gannon, and I'm very psyched for this episode. I have a guest who is something of a legend in the pond world here in the States. Him and his wife, Anita, are owners of Nelson Water Garden out in the Lone Star State. And Rolf Nelson is going to be coming on and joining me. Hey, Rolf, are you on the line?
I'm here, Mike. Good to be with you.
Great. So glad to have you here with me. I really appreciate it. And how are things out there in Katy, Texas?
A little gloomy at the moment. Lots of rain, kind of chilly. We're waiting for spring when we can really start to enjoy our water gardens again.
Yeah, I'm with you. We pretty much have the same kind of weather here, gloomy. Thankfully, not too awfully cold. I'm out in New Jersey, and we usually get a pretty brutal this time of year. But I'm looking for that warmer weather, too. And speaking of that, I met you actually in a very warm place. I met you and your wife, Anita, recently at the International Water Garden Society Symposium down in Merida,
yeah.
Mexico. You
yeah,
guys are actually the very first people who I met. And you guys also happen to be founding members of the IWGS. Is that correct?
We are, yes. Yeah, it's a group that started back in 1984 with the organizational meeting. And the first symposium that was put together was in 85. And we went to Hunting Creek Fisheries and then over to Longwood Gardens.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while. And that was a great event. The Yucatan is a very interesting place. And I'd actually like to talk more about the IWGS in just a little bit so we can give kind of the listeners a better idea of what exactly that is.
Okay.
But your experiences in the water gardening profession have spanned many decades and has taken you places all around the world. But what actually got you into water gardening?
I was always attracted to water. I loved to fish from the time I was really, really young. I remember an earliest memory or one of these family stories that just imprints in your mind when you're young. You know, my dad and grandfather tied me to a pier in Montauk to go fishing when I was like 3 years old. And
right.
It stuck. So I was always fascinated around water. And I went to the University of Maryland, got a degree in horticulture with botany in the background. And it just so happened that I was approached by one of my good professors and said he had been contacted by a company looking for a plant production manager. And it
mm-hmm.
happened to be Charles Thomas of Lily Ponds Water Gardens was looking for someone.
Yeah,
and
okay.
University of Maryland was his alma mater, so that's where he had turned to try to find somebody who he could, you know, expand production, you know. And that was back in the days when a lot of plant material went out for aquatics through mail order. And he was located up near Frederick, Maryland, in the little town that actually was named Lily Ponds for a long period of time. And fairly short growing season, you know, to have the quantity of plant materials that he was hoping the business would develop to. So
okay.
The professor approached me. I was interested, went and interviewed, and that started my, you know, real passion, I guess, with water gardening. That was 1977.
1977. Wow. Okay. And Lily Ponds is that's an older company. I believe that has been a family-owned business since about 1917, somewhere around
you
there.
You have it exactly right. Yeah, 1970. Very good.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So it's very interesting because the industry has changed so much. And like you just mentioned, back then it was mail order. I mean, some of today's pond keepers may not even understand what exactly that is. So mm-hmm. Can you kind of tell the process of, let's say somebody did want an aquatic plant, a water lily, and they ordered from you guys, how would they get it?
Yeah, just about everything was produced in earthen ponds at that point in time. It was a field culture type of a thing. And there were catalogs that were out there. The catalogs, I think, in the U.S. anyway, went back into the late 1800s with aquatics. And so someone would order a variety of water lily, and you would go out into with hip boots on, wade out into this earth bottom pond and pull the plant, you know, manually up out of the ground.
Yeah.
Prune it, you know, get the soil off it, prune it up a little bit, and then they were packaged in wet newspaper with just a plastic liner around it, and then, you know, put in a corrugated box and then shipped out in, you know, the most efficient manner that they could. Early on, that would have been, you know, through the postal service, and then, you know, as UPS yeah. services came on, you know, with faster deliveries and so forth, the vast majority of plants for, you know, many years went UPS. But fish
yeah.
were also shipped the same way. You know, they were most early water gardeners got the fish for their ponds through mail order.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Like that to me
yeah.
is it's amazing. And the the mail order industry was so huge, and it was actually a tremendous way for our water garden industry to grow. It was very busy there. I mean, you were at Lily Ponds. There were some other, I think, large distributors in the country
there
as well.
There were a handful
of
others. Yeah. We had Slocum Water Gardens out of Florida.
Yeah.
Trickers in New Jersey, your home state. And,
yeah.
Which is now Waterford, you know, after it's sold.
Right.
And then Trickers was also in Ohio, Independence, Ohio, near Cleveland. And on the
yeah.
West Coast, you had Van Ness. And on Long Island, you had Shearer and Sons.
Yeah. It's
and
amazing.
In the Midwest, I just remembered, there was Bee Fork Water Gardens.
Okay.
Which is not
yeah.
known by all that many folks, but they did mail order in the outside of St. Louis.
Okay. Yep. Interesting. And so, how long were you with Lily Ponds? You went there in 77 after you got out of school.
Yeah.
How long were you
well,
with Lily Ponds?
A little bit of a story to that. I got really fortunate. Charles was really trying to expand the business. And he was really starting to advertise it a lot more and grow it beyond the fisheries. Its former name was Three Springs Fisheries. It did predominantly goldfish sales. And he had a vision that the aquatic plants were going to be the dominant part of the business. And we looked for properties, and everything we pointed toward Houston, Texas back then. Late 70s, every Wall Street Journal business magazines that you picked up, Houston was the go-to place. It was growing rapidly, and it was far enough south. So we found property.
And longer growing season.
Much longer growing season. Found property huh. west of Houston, in a small town, the name of Brookshire, and he needed somebody to go down and build ponds and stock them with plants and start a business. And at 22, I had a fabulous opportunity. Left the East Coast on January 1st, 1978. And
oh, okay.
Headed south.
Wow.
And so with them for 19 years, and then had the opportunity to move on and Nita, my wife, and I, you know, started Nelson Water Gardens, and we celebrate our 20th anniversary this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
You made it past the 3-year mark.
Yeah. Thank you. As have you.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So now you're the owner, proprietor of Nelson Water Gardens, which, you know, in the industry, I think, you know, most people have heard of Nelson Water Gardens. So tell me about that a little bit. It's a family run operation. You already have if I understand correctly, a second generation as part of the operations down there.
Yes, yeah. Very fortunate we do. My son, Peter, has been with us, and he runs our design-build branch of the business. And he's got a good vision. He's very talented and coming up with designs and is very creative. His background, he has a degree in landscape architecture from LSU, and he has a team that helps him, you know, go out and we do predominantly residential, but recently we've done a little bit more commercial and some churches and some restaurants and so forth with water features.
Right.
So that's very satisfying. And then I have a daughter who is working with us right now, helping with the merchandising. We do have a gift shop, and she helps buy for the gift shop along with Anita, and helps me with some of the background endless paperwork that hits you when you run a business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Two other daughters, you know, one who lives in Baton Rouge, another who just went into Texas A&M. She's a freshman there, but all the kids grew up in the business. You know, they all got experience, you know, working with people, both our customers and colleagues, and, you know, learned it early on. Yes.
Sure. Literally
good
in their blood.
Experiences for them. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. That really is. So Nelson Water Gardens is a full service destination water garden center. You guys have aquatic plants, lily, lotus, marginals, you have koi and goldfish. Do you carry other like critters and, you know, tadpoles and crayfish? Do you guys kind of stock up?
Yeah, we do the tadpoles. We do a little native fish for folks that aren't interested in having the, you know, the larger goldfish in there and still need something for, you know, a little bit of insect control called a rainbow dace.
Okay.
That works out very well. And, we actually still grow our own aquatic crop. We off-site, our nursery is on the west side of Houston in a high-growth community called Katy. And that's the retail site. And Peter also runs the design build out of that location. And then in our rural home site, we actually grow the aquatic plants so that we have control over the quality of the materials that we have available to put out for sale.
Right. Okay. I know you guys do seminars and workshops. Even your website, very informative website, lots of photos, blog content, video content. I mean, a really well done website. If people want to go and check that out, it's just nelsonwatergardens.com. So when you look at your business today and you go back to when you were first coming down to Houston, you know, your original vision for it, do those kind of line up or have things really just changed quite a bit?
It's changed a lot. You know, coming down here originally, you know, basically I was an aquatic farmer. You know, we were set up to grow large numbers of plants. And and at that time, everyone pretty much grew everything in earth and ponds. Now, we'd have a few tropical water lilies that would come in from a source out on the West Coast. There was a gentleman out there, Jack Wood, who grew tropical lilies and a few hardies out in Thermal, California, one of the hottest places in the country, off of the Salton Sea. But he was a supplier of tropicals, and a lot of those tropicals would get put into buckets back then. They really weren't. Nobody was making a pot for the aquatic industry. So you bought pails like you would, you know, use for a mop.
Right.
Or you use, you know, or you use dish pans, and so forth. And but other than that, just about everything was grown, you know, in on either the pond banks, you know, for the shallow water plants, or out in earthen ponds. And it's changed now. There's very little production that's done in open earth bottom ponds. Almost everything is done in containers at all the different growers, or, you know, around the country. And it's actually easier. It's like back then, you know, why didn't we think of it?
Yeah.
At that time. But
right.
you did whatever. Actually, it was an outgrowth probably of, you know, doing the fisheries, because you need big earthen ponds to grow large numbers of goldfish and koi. So you just made them shallower and grew your plants in the shallower ponds.
Right.
So there's a lot of greenhouse production now, and there was very little. You know, I think Trickers probably had some greenhouses, but most of the businesses didn't, you know, utilize greenhouse space way back in the 70s and so forth. So, you know, things
right.
have changed in that regard, and I think all for the better. I think the quality of materials available to the consumer across the board is more consistent and better, at least from, you know, the good suppliers.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's pretty interesting to hear you talk about how things have changed, how mail order, although it has not gone away, is certainly not the major way to obtain materials and livestock and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool stuff. Now,
yeah, there's just so many more people that are growing, you know, material, you know, all around the country, and you have local suppliers, which, you know, just didn't exist back then.
Yeah. And you've been able to adapt. I mean, you're operating full strength in today's times, where you pretty much have to have the website, you have to have, you know, these social outreach on the internet and stuff like that. So it's definitely a testament to your brand that you've been able to change with the times and stay relevant, which is really great. And at the same time,
that's another reason that you need young people in your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. They understand that a whole lot better than I do. So you have to kind of give them some free rein to help, you know, keep us current, you know, and, I'm glad that you feel that we're achieving that. Thank you.
Oh yeah, sure. No, thanks for doing it. I mean, we need it in the industry. We do need more young people for sure in the industry. You know, hopefully we're going to see some people, you know, a lot of people coming into it to keep this going. It's a pretty, I feel like we're very lucky doing what we're doing, you know, to be able to make a living and support our families and everything and do community outreach the way we do. In this field, I love it.
You're absolutely right. You know, if you have a tough day and you think, geez, why do I do this? And then you stop and think, you know, what else would you do? What would you enjoy more?
Right.
You know, I think the folks that I know, you know, that do what we do, you know, they're very passionate about it. They get a real high from staying with it. I mean, you're with nature. I mean, how bad can that be?
Exactly. It's funny because I feel like there's a common background with a lot of the people I speak with in this industry that as kids, they were into water as kids. They're hanging around ponds and lakes and creeks. I mean, I know I was like that. I was always catching frogs and fish and skipping rocks. I mean, it just never really left my psyche. And now I do it for a living.
Yeah, we were always looking for crawfish for bait. You know, we wanted to go fishing, so you're turning rocks and creeks to get bait.
Yeah. let's talk about the IWGS, the International Water Garden Society, real quick.
Yep.
Again, you're a founding member. You've been there kind of from the launch of it. I'm sure that the IWGS has changed dramatically as well. It's interesting to me because it really can take you all over the world if you're a member of it. I know you've had symposiums in Mexico, China, England. You have symposiums in different locations around the U.S.
Thailand, France.
Thailand.
Yeah,
I mean,
Canada.
You know, some really cool places.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a fabulous way to meet people, you know, from around the world to share your passion. One of the big changes for it, it started out as the IWLS, which was the International Water Lily Society. So it was very much focused in the early days, you know, as a plant-based society, like the Rose Society or a Daylily Society or whatever. And then after a number of years had gone on, we just realized that it really needed to encompass the greater aspects of a water garden, okay, that included a lot of plants beyond the water lilies. Everybody within the early group always had the interest in all the other groups of plants, and we decided that the name was perhaps just a little bit too narrow with just the you know, water lily. So this coming year, just as a little plug, the meeting's going to be at Longwood Gardens, which has one of the most phenomenal collections of water lilies and other aquatics to be seen anywhere in the world. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to travel to quite a few places over the years, and Longwood is just, you know, at the top of the list. It's just killer, you know, as far as the overall gardens and even beyond the water gardens. If, you know, your listeners haven't been there, it's a bucket list place to go.
Right.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yep.
And I've been there many times. And if you don't mind, I'll give a couple of other places in the country for people who are really into, you know, aquatics, who would like to see really great displays. Missouri Botanic is definitely a go-to place to see, you know, great public displays of water lilies. And then right here in Texas, which is one of the biggest surprises, I think, to most folks in West Texas, the town of San Angelo is the most diverse collection of water lilies anywhere in the world.
Wow.
You weren't aware?
I was not, no.
We did a symposium there in 2010, and we will probably go back there in 2018. But the city park in San Angelo has been managing that for many years, at first as a volunteer. You know, now he's a curator for the city of the collection, Ken Landon, who in the circle of the water lily plant geeks, you know, Ken is on a pedestal and highly revered with his knowledge and the number of different plants that he has. The amount of work that he did a collection of species material for University of Texas Herbarium back in the 70s. He plays with fertilizers for plants he's got a lot of chemistry background, mechanical engineering background. He's just, you know, amazing. It's International Water Lily Collection, I think the IWC, and it's worth a visit on your computers to see what's going on out there.
Wow, that's so cool. I got to check that out. That's great. So you're definitely a master water gardener. Now, as people are getting into water gardening, just kind of coming into it and discovering it, there's so many things to discover. But if you were just going to say three crucial things that a water gardener, a new water gardener, should look for when they're choosing a lily, what are three things that people should be looking for, do you think? Three crucial things.
For a lily? I mean, the beauty of it is you basically pick a color that you like, you know, as far as lilies are concerned. There's two broad groups of water lilies, and this is a point that I think people need to understand. There's a group that's called hardy, where the lily will go dormant but is going to come back each spring, you know, basically throughout the continental United States and even up into Canada for the vast majority of plants that would be considered a hardy water lily. You also have the tropical water lily group, which is not going to necessarily overwinter much further north than Houston, Texas. You know, I'm fortunate where I am. You know, most folks, their tropicals will overwinter. So you have to make a decision. I mean, the tropicals offer a lot of things that the hardies don't. Typically a lot more fragrance. The flowers stand much higher above the surface of the water. You get into your great blues and purples, although recently hybridizers are starting to be able to cross between the groups and get hardy tropicals, in essence, you know, that we have some darker, you know, purples and getting toward the blues on plants that have more hardiness. But
yeah,
still the majority of material out there in the marketplace are going to fall into the group of tropical or hardy. But I know a lot of northern water gardeners who will replant a tropical water lily in their water garden every single year because of what the performance of that plant is. They produce so many more total flowers during the course of the growing season, and you get into other colors.
Right.
On the other hand, a lot of the southern gardeners will at least have a hardy or two in there because different colors are available to them. So
okay,
there's some decision making to, you know, as to what you might stock in there, and then obviously the amount of space that you have. You know, I kind of like a pond that has maybe, you know, 60% coverage, you know, with water lily leaves, so that you have open water areas to get reflections and see the ripples on the water and see your fish swimming around.
Right.
You know, I've known some folks that are just so into the plants that you don't even see the water. You know, it's just solid plants.
Yeah.
That,
solid mass of lily leaves.
Classic water garden, you know, I like to have some open water in there.
Yeah.
Now,
you want a little mysterious.
Plants, I kind of like seeing it full.
Yeah, yeah. You want that mystery that the leaves, that the coverage gives you, and but you still want to see your fish in those open areas.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize how very big a water lily can get, too. I mean, it's a very big plant.
There's a handful of miniature varieties. You know, for folks with, you know, a very small space, say a kettle, you know, a whiskey barrel or something sized pond, there are some true miniatures, and the true miniatures are going to come from the hardy group. The only downside of those is they're open for only a few hours a day. They're not open as long as a lot of your other varieties. But then you
right.
can get into some of the big day blooming tropicals and then the night bloomers, where you can have individual leaves that are 18 to even 24 inches across.
Yeah.
You know, huge, beautiful leaves.
Oh, yeah.
I used to grow plants in earthen ponds, and I could have a 30-foot wide pond and have a night bloomer planted in the middle and have leaves touching the banks on either side.
That's awesome.
So they're not going to grow as large as that in the containers that we're going to use in our ponds, but that's the potential of some of these plants.
Yeah.
The other point that I might have for somebody that's deciding on plants is if you have the space, use as large a container as you can handle so that you can actually have a plant that is as spectacular as possible for you as far as the size of the flowers, and even will impact the number of flowers that you might get on a number of varieties. And then also they're heavy feeders. Water lilies consume a lot of nutrients. The old leaves get pushed to the outside edge of a water lily's growth circle, and they start to deteriorate, and you pinch them off, and then there's new leaves coming on continually, and the plant uses up a lot of nutrient to perform at its best. So we do fertilize on a regular basis. And the further south you are, typically the more fertilizer you need. And down here, we need to repot our water lilies every single year into fresh soil. So there's just so much root mass that's in the container through the winter that decays that you need to have fresh soil. As you get to some of the northern areas, you know, you might get 2 years. And the old English books on water gardening all say that you can go 2 to 3 years between, you know, replanting your water lilies, but it doesn't work in a lot of the U.S. We're just, you know, too warm, too long of a growing season to get a body of that.
And I think that's kind of a chronic issue that a lot of water gardeners struggle with, maybe just because of lack of information or seeking out the information. But I see that a lot where it's a chronic condition where people keep their lilies in very small containers. I mean, like 8-inch containers, 10-inch containers, and essentially try to have a successful lily and don't even consider repotting it. So
Right.
That
and a lot don't fertilize either. They don't get the information. And we can do fairly well with a lily for one season in a 10-inch diameter pot as long as it's getting consistent fertilization.
Okay.
And when we move to a pot that, because there are some industry aquatic pots now, and one happens to be 10 inches across, it's about 7 quarts of soil in there. Then it jumps up to a 16-inch diameter container, and you just get spectacular plants in a 16-inch diameter container.
Yeah.
Holding 19 quarts of soil, the plants are just wow. And then if you can go larger than that, you can start to push closer to botanic garden style, plant. If you have a large pond,
right,
build a bigger pot so that you can really throw some plants that are just jaw dropping. I mean, they're just really that spectacular.
That's what I'm going to be going for. I moved last year, so I'm actually pondless right now.
Okay,
but
you got to rectify that.
I'm going to be building a new pond this year, once the weather kind of gives a little bit. But I'm going to try to get some big, it's going to be a big pond. I can't wait to get some big plants in there.
Fantastic.
I'm so looking forward to it. So, it's really cool. So I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me and sharing your experience as a master water gardener, and thanks what you do for the industry, the hobby, the lifestyle, the whole deal. Can we remind everybody where they can find you and get in touch with you, your website, your phone?
Yeah, so it'll be nelsonwatergardens.com, and our phone is 281-391-4769. And we, as Mike mentioned kindly for us, we do have a lot of information just posted on our website, and hopefully that can be real helpful to a lot of you.
Yeah, you got a great website. I highly recommend it as a resource for anybody out there, even if you're not in the Katy, Texas or Houston area. Tons of great information on there, videos, blogs, the whole deal. And of course, there's a website for the International Water Garden Society, is the IWGS.org. I look forward to seeing you out there. I'm going to hopefully attend again this year at the IWGS. And if I'm ever in the Texas area, I plan to come and see you, Ralph.
Well, great. You're always welcome.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you for joining the podcast. And I look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Okay. Thanks, Mike, and have a great spring.
You too. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Ralph Nelson, everybody, from Nelson Water Gardens, also a founding member of the International Water Garden Society and all-around water gardening champion. That was great to have him on as a guest. And I thank all you guys for being here and listening. I'm your host, Mike Gannon. My company is Full Service Aquatics, located in New Jersey. And we are a water garden and pond company. We design and install, service and maintain water gardens, koi ponds, and water features of every type. The website is fullserviceaquatics.com. And you can find more Pond Hunter on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Come say hey. Give me a rating or a review, damn it. And we will see you next time on the Pond Hunter radio broadcast. Take care, everybody.
You have been listening to the Pond Hunter radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Mike Gannon, the Pond Hunter, in the pursuit of all things aquatic, broadcasting Wednesday nights on Blog Talk Radio. The Pond Hunter, keeping it pondy for the aquatically obsessed.
Yes, the aquatically obsessed, keeping it pondy, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time. Be good to each other and share the water gardening lifestyle with those that you love.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.